Welcome back, Questus. This is Roy Washington. Any clubbers out there? Any people who like to go out, listen to music, go to the club or, you know, to some type of a spot. Guys up there spinning records, entertaining the crowd. Well, if you have, you know, and sometimes you go up there and make requests. Hey, Mr. DJ, you know, we have songs about the DJ. Well, what is a DJ? By Google's definition, I looked it up. It's a disc jockey that is a person who mixes recorded music in real time. You know, so let's go back a little bit over history. Just a little bit. And look at some of the bullet points in history that kind of takes us back as far as DJing and the creative forces that made it is what it is today. In 1857, that's a long time ago, the year 1857, this guy named Leon Scott invented the phonoautograph. The phonoautograph, and it was a device, the first of its kind, to record sound. The first of its kind. And Thomas Edison followed that up, you know, later on down the line with the phonograph cylinder, which allowed the person to play back those recorded sounds. That's a nice little piece of history there. In 1910, radio broadcasting had become a normal and exciting part of life. 1943. That was the world's first DJ dance party. It was held by a guy named Jimmy Savile. And he played jazz records for his guests that night. And a few years later, he became the first person to use turntables to keep the music in continuous play. In the 1960s, a guy named Rudy Bozak, he made the first DJ mixers mixing consoles specialized for DJing. 1973, DJ Kool Herc made a name for himself as the father of hip-hop. Big ups, DJ Kool Herc. And he laid down jams for huge block parties, mostly in the Bronx. And he is a legend. KRS-One talks about him all the time. DJ Kool Herc, big ups. Father of hip-hop. And with that, you know, you can never name everyone, but, you know, we just got to mention, you know, all the great DJs, you know, throughout the years. You know, great DJs. You know, you see Fresh Prince, but you know, you had behind him, you had Jazzy Jeff. You had the greatness of Rakim, but you know, you had Eric B. right there. You know what I'm saying? You know, Run DMC had Jam Master Jay. You know, you had Grandmaster Flash and Marley Marl. Kid Capri. I already mentioned Jazzy Jeff. How about Spinderella with that, you know, great Salt and Pepper group? You know, Terminator X, you know, with Public Enemy. You know, DJ Yella. Doing this thing with NWA, you know, Cut Creator, LL Cool J, you know, the Cut Creator, Grandmaster D, Houdini, and here locally in our city, you know, big ups, Doc B, he's a legend. And then you go back to OC White, you know, those guys, you know, Rock D, you know, DJ New Styles, Midwest James, Maniac Tizzle, D-Rock, comedian, but also does a great job on the turntables. And today we're talking with one of the great, great DJs right now. And not only in our city, but definitely has the potential and has the skills to make noise on a national, worldwide basis. And that's why we got a member of Quest family, DJ Dre Dilla. So yeah, DJ Dre Dilla, we'll be talking to him. But you know, I always wish that I could, you know, mix and scratch. I used to watch Midwest James back in the day, you know. you know, mixing and all that, and cutting the records and scratching and, you know, blending and all that. That's a great skill, and I always wish I could do that. So we'll be talking to Dre Dilla about some of his experiences on the road. You know, going to DJ, he's making a lot of money these days. Some of them, you know, make them, wow, astronomical amounts. You know, so what some of the things he's experienced on the road as a DJ, you know, doing parties and the business behind that, you know, behind closed doors and all that. Very interesting conversation. Great, great guy, great friend. He's family, and this phenomenal DJ, making phenomenal beats, unbelievable. We're gonna have you listening to that conversation with DJ Dre Dilla. And if you haven't guessed by now, this is The Quest, and we got you locked in. Washington, you're locked in to The Quest. Sitting here with a member of Quest family, DJ Dre Dilla.
Yay! What it do, man? How you doing?
What's up, DJ Dre Dilla?
Not much, man. Chilling. You know, working. You know, trying to stay above water. That's all.
Right. Like to thank you for all you do for the show, man. You know, we're deep going right now, building up our numbers.
Man, I appreciate it, man. But you know, it's nothing. We brothers, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. We go way back, so it's all love, you know. To all the Quest listeners, I'm the man in the background, Dre Dilla, you know what I'm saying?
The big fella!
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, listeners, the process you go through, like you just explained to me, when you're in the studio, when you're in the lab, mm-hmm. coming up with a beat, because you got some of the coldest beats, man, I've ever heard.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Right. So what's your process when you building a beat from scratch?
Well, usually it comes with either I'm gonna start with the sample or I'm gonna start creating the beat.
Okay.
Either or, I'm looking for either a certain type of rhythm or the beat guide me into a melody.
Okay.
And then I can build around that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like I was telling you before, like, it'd be, I hear a song, you know, like, for instance, Don't Make Me, I'm Dreaming.
Right.
So, because he said it like that, that'll keep repeating in my head, you know.
Okay.
I say it fast, I say it slow, I say it mediocre, I say it the way the song do it. Then I process a creation of a beat. So if I think of that sample going real fast,
okay.
I think of a kind of a rhythm tempo of how I can keep up with that beat or that sample to build around it to keep creating, you know, bring the song out, you know, because it's a lot more than just sampling and making beats, still you got to do the backgrounds, like the ambient sounds, and you know, you're trying to bring that particular snare out, or you know, you trying to, you know, draft somebody off way back to bring them back to the beat, you know what I'm saying? So you trying to do different transitions to a song to be creatively different than everything else out there, you know what I'm saying? And still be hot at the same time. Because a lot of stuff that I do, I don't think it should be hot like that.
Okay.
But then when I hear other people and I get their honest opinion, and then it makes me feel better because what I don't like, somebody else like.
Right.
I had to remember that DJing, you know, producing and all of that, man. But
how long have you been DJing?
I've been DJing now for about 15 years. I started late.
Okay.
Yeah. See, when I was younger, I was trying to get involved in it. You know, I had a couple cats across the street that actually had a pair of 12 in vinyl. But to see them move them in rotation and they making different sounds and transitions and, you know, back spins, and, you know, I was like, damn, that's cool. How you do that? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's how I got interested. So, and then after all of that, it was like me trying to get my equipment. Which equipment wasn't cheap.
No.
You know what I'm saying? It's like the turntable was like for a pair right now is $1,200, and then it depends on the series. It's like $1,200 now. And then you can still probably get some for
$2,500
for 1,200 techniques. Yes. And they got some higher than that. It depends on the age.
Okay.
You got gold series, you got brand new series, it's different series of turntable techniques. And then now everything is more digital and technical, and you know, with the computers and the software and shit, that people don't really fuck with turntables like that no more,
right.
Except for DJs that start.
Right.
So you got a lot of Serato DJs, push button DJs, twist knob DJs, but they selling out stadiums and coliseums and getting like 20,000 a gig.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When a DJ like me only getting $250, $300, $500, $600, you know what I'm saying?
For right now.
But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I can appreciate that because that's where I come from. You know, when I do coliseums, I get $20,000, $30,000. Mm-hmm. But right now, you know, I ain't elevated to that level yet. You know, I still don't have a fan base like that.
Right.
So that's why I'm, you know, going from DJing to production, because another thing too is the copyright shit with samplers. You know what I'm saying? And you don't want to get caught up in no lawsuits for sampling somebody's shit and it ain't approved, you ain't licensed, and it's just a whole heap of mess, man, that people can get you for millions.
Okay.
You know, like, what's that, Robin Thicke?
Yeah,
you know, all he had to do was holler at them people and he probably would have got a good percentage because your song is number one. All you're really doing is negotiating a price. And once you negotiate that price, you pay them off. Once they paid off, your music's still climbing. You have no problems. But you have to consult with the people you sample. You know what I'm saying?
So you think that's what Joe did? Because remember, he came out with the song If You Lose Her. Mm-hmm. And that was the same beat from Player. Baby, come back.
Right. Robin. Yeah. Right. But see, with somebody like that, the record label can push for it to get where it is. You know what I'm saying? The record label can be able to get it approved, or, you know, the family or whoever made the album, if they're not deceased or whatever, the family can just be like, I'm not fucking with it.
Okay,
you know, this is my dad's catalog of music, and we're just going to keep it in the library, okay? You know, that's how people are.
Right.
So then you got those that they don't, you know, they'll go from that to just like getting the record label, and they just cash out and whatever they want to, you know, negotiate. It is what it is. They did it right then and there. And that's how a lot of people do it. And sometimes people are cool, and there's a lot of shit that's out there that's being like waived and like approved, but then there is a lot of shit. Like, I can't go fuck with no Beatles album and make something monstrous and don't think that they ain't gonna come at me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because, or Elvis Presley.
Right.
You know, certain albums is just a no-go for sampling. You know what I'm saying? Because motherfuckers will be acting. And then I'm black, fucking with an Elvis record. Got him pumping in the street. They ain't liking that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They like, nah, that ain't cool.
So DJing has changed from the perspective of, I remember you used to see the guys with the crates.
Yeah.
The milk crates of albums.
Yeah.
Now, you know, some, you can probably DJ a party on your phone. Huh?
Pretty much.
I've done stuff here on just off of my phone. My phone was loaded with music. You know, like you said, iPad.
They got software now where people can just DJ from their, you know, devices. You know what I'm saying? Which makes this scratching skill DJ, you know, he getting obsolete because of the fact that technology is getting up. And my man still got those skills, but he would have to do his skills and get paid from actual shows so people can actually see his hands work.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's where motherfuckers really get paid at. And then you got the dubstep and the techno dudes. See, when the machine came out, that allowed them to just do, and that was more so how they DJ, because they had 16 pads. You could put 16 samples on the pad. Boom, 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 boom. That's sort of like DJing.
Okay.
You creating the whole monstrous beat. Boom, turn around, throw a little scratch on top of it. You know, they calling it DJing. You know what I'm saying? I seen a motherfucker do a whole set at a club with just a computer and a mixer and had that motherfucker shake. You know what I'm saying? So the skill set for DJs nowadays is a lot simpler than it was back then.
Okay.
Back then, it was more so a brother had to dig in the crate.
Right.
And you had to stay on time. With scratching, back spinning, and body tricks.
Right.
You know, that's a different skill set versus pushing buttons or going on your computer, dragging and dropping into your turntables. It's a total different game. But it made it simplify. It's simpler than where it is. So instead of carrying 5,000 crates, you can put all your shit on in the software, and you got 10,000. Crates of music or more,
right,
that you can just keep pushing to people hours, you know, and have them cracking, you know.
Do the software keep you on time too?
Yeah. Most Serato, Virtual, and there's a few others out there. There's the Trackster, you know, it's a bunch of softwares out there. But for what I know to be more accurate would be Serato. A lot of people would disagree because they have their own views on different things on what they do. I actually like records and turntables.
Okay.
Because that's where I started from. And that's who taught me that once you take that Serato album off and the cat try to battle you, what you gonna do?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You still gonna try to get at him on Serato, or you gonna come at him on wax?
Okay.
You know, and that's basically how it is. And to this day, 2016, we still have monstrous DJs that still have them hands. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And you got the DJ Crazes. You got the DJ Revolutions. You got the DJ Scratches. You got DJ Spin Bad. You got all of these cats still working the shit off their hands.
Doc B
here in Milwaukee. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
DJ Supreme. Mm-hmm.
Dre Dilla,
you know, and a few others, you
DJ
know, what I'm
new styles,
new
think,
styles, and,
yeah.
But it's a lot of DJs worldwide still using their hands and vinyl, and only they can fuck with Serato, but they still rather fuck with actual vinyl.
But you can also scratch with CDs now too, can't you?
Exactly.
I was at 7 Mile Fair. They got the two. Well, they got the
mix deck.
Right.
Yeah, it's called the Serato mix deck.
Throw two CDs in there and you can scratch back and forth and mix it.
And the only thing with that is versus the 1200 turntable.
Okay.
The 1200 turntable, it spins. The mix deck, it don't spin, but it allows you to scratch. And at the drop of a dime, it'll stop. But you rotating the wheel on its own. It don't spin on its own. But then you got the Serato itch, which the tables, they spin just like, they look just like the mix deck, and they smart. They look like 45. Right. Remember the 45? Right. That one actual moves like a turntable. I like that one too. You know, I like the new device. And now they got the Serato, not the Serato, the Itch that's coming out. I forget the name of it. It's my favorite. I just seen it the other day and I'm finna get it. But they got the drum pads.
Okay.
You got the drum pads. It got the little monitor screen on there. You don't have to look at your computer. You can be on there DJing and killing it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, I mean, the technology is cool because everything is simple.
Okay.
But it'll never take away from what it was when DJing first started with the turntables.
Right.
Turntables still overrule all this new technology.
Yeah.
Day one, because if you hit them turntables and they still legit, and you can drop that needle on that record and it's still buzzing and doing this motherfucking thing, you're good to go.
I love seeing that DJ just scratching and, you know, going from one to the other.
Yeah, backspinning, crabbing, all of that, man.
I love that show. It's Roy Washington. We're sitting here with Quest family member DJ Dre Dilla.
Yeah.
Hollering at him for a second. Yo, do you remember your first show, your first party that you DJed?
Yep, my first party I DJed, it was crazy.
Okay.
Because like I said, I didn't have equipment, but then got my little income tax money.
Okay.
I thought I was doing something, and I got this Newmark, and it was a mix deck.
Okay.
And it had the two CD pullouts, and it was a one unit, and I was able to, you know, crossfade and do all of that, but I wasn't able to scratch.
Okay.
But learning that deck taught me how to mix, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It taught me about beats per minute, which I didn't know, you know what I'm saying? A beginner DJ that don't know can get caught up in some messed up situations thinking you a DJ.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because what we think a DJ does, he does a lot. And people don't really know it. They think he's just up there playing music. But shit, you got to make sure you got to have the right music. You got to make sure you have edited music. You got to make sure you got music for people to party to. Not only that, you got to make sure your shit is right. Because I done did a party one time, and all my shit shut down.
Really?
On New Year's Eve. And we was at a club. And it was packed. And my computer shut down.
Oh.
The whole system. Fucked up the whole party, man. Fucked up the whole party. So dude wanted to, you know, tax me for that.
Uh-huh.
But it was like after midnight, I had just started getting it cracking.
Oh, you had made the countdown.
Yeah, we had made the countdown and everything. But right at party time, my computer shut down.
Wow.
Because the Serato that I had, and with the computer, like I was saying, you learn shit every day.
Okay.
I found out that something wasn't compatible with my Serato system.
Okay.
So when I was in the process of getting my shit together, it froze. And when it froze, it locked. And when it locked, the music stopped. Okay. And everybody looked at me and I'm like, fuck. And I'm trying to close out my... Nah. And then I didn't come with a backup computer.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So I kind of fucked the party up. So when you go through life lessons like that, you try to stay on top of your game. Well, next time, I'm going to bring an extra computer, plug him in just in case. Flop. You know what I'm saying? Because certain things happen. You know what I'm saying? And you never know when they'll happen. And they'll happen to you at the worst moments, bro.
That might be the commercial. Remember the commercial where they say, want to get away?
Right. You know what I mean? You like, and everybody looking at you like, oh, damn. Right. We ain't no DJ.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, it's tough, you know, because, and then, you could be up there thinking you doing your thing, and people like, who the fuck is this DJ? You know, whack as a bitch. He went more bounce to the house like 8 times. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, that's how people be like, George, are you really going to pay him? Because he didn't even play our song. You know, and people are particular, you know. I did, I was out in Waukesha with the white folks.
Okay.
I had to do a reception.
Okay.
And you got to know the parties you're doing.
There you go.
Because I can't go up in the party full of white folks with trap shit.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. They like some R&B. Don't get me wrong. They do like some trap shit.
Right.
But if I don't have no music that they can relate to, I'm losing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So if you up there playing all African American music,
right,
and no Caucasian country, rock, pop, mm-hmm. you killed yourself. Right. You know, and I had to learn that too. So Wi-Fi was beautiful for me that night. So I took all requests.
Okay.
And as I was taking requests, my man was downloading. Boom. He was downloading, bam. Oh my God! Oh my God, George! He's playing it!
Yeah, you good.
For real, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how you want to keep people happy, because then they keep your pockets full. You know what I'm saying? So
I think that's another reason why I keep my library very diverse.
Mm-hmm.
I got, you know what I'm saying? I got all the hip hop, the new school, old school, then I got the classic rock, got the Foreigner.
Yeah.
I got everything, yeah. Man, you know.
And it's for you too, man, because, yeah. You know, you may be doing the wedding,
mm-hmm.
and you'll have a white guy that requests some off-brand shit.
Right.
And it'd be funny, because that particular off-brand song that he's asking for, you have it.
Right.
And in the middle of it cracking,
uh-huh.
you throw old school shit up in it.
Uh-huh.
It may piss everybody else off,
mm-hmm.
but old school happy.
Right.
Soon as old school son done, bam, back to the party.
You
know what I'm saying?
There you go.
I'm trying to accommodate everybody. You know what I'm saying? Because I want everybody to be happy at whoever's party it is. So they can request me again. You know what I'm saying?
You ever had another crazy experience, DJ?
Oof. Yeah, I mean, we had some good ones, some bad ones, but the craziest one was when we was, me and my other guy, DJ 414, we went out to Oshkosh.
Okay.
He killed me though with this one because he had hooked the gig up. And I was already tripping because I'm like, man, I got to drive all the way to fucking Oshkosh. He was like, bro, just calm down, man, we good. So I'm driving, he fucking with my radio. I'm like, nigga, you ain't supposed to be touching the black man's radio. The fuck? He like, man, chill out, man.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, man.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't know it, but when he was changing the radio station, he was changing it to the radio station at Oshkosh.
Okay.
And I didn't know. So when they jumped back onto the radio station, it was like, ladies and gentlemen, we got DJ Trey Dillon, DJ 414 coming live and direct at Oshkosh. We down at the firehouse pit. They're going to be getting it in. This and that. I looked at that nigga. He sitting over there like, talking about touching the black man radio, man. I'm talking about, I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
That was live though. But when we went down, it was a CD release party.
Okay.
Man, we shook that up. And it was crazy because we up there got everything bumping.
Okay.
It was these girls standing in front of the DJ table where we was at.
Right.
Dude, she bent over. I looked, I was like, oh my God, this girl ain't got no panties on.
What?
It was shaking. But the minute I get it grimy and it got together, wasn't no problems in there, they wasn't fighting. Somebody pulled my plug. I looked, I was like,
what the fuck?
Because I'm thinking I saw something that happened.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the? And then, we're done. The owner. So I'm like, why? So then 414 look out the window, police outside.
What done happened? The police outside.
Man, the dude who was throwing the CD release party, daddy got drunk and got the shooting outside in the air.
Oh, okay.
Talking about he was going to pop somebody. So the police came. Oh. Fucked the whole thing up, man. Come to find out, little homie who CD release party that we did, wound up dying, man. He died of an overdose. And what was fucked up, because we never did get a chance to hear dude spit. Because as soon as he was like, man, I'm finna go outside, I'm finna, you know, rehearse my shit. He was like, I'm finna come back in. He was like, play Future for me. Because at that time it was, I got Unknown Future, at the same damn time. And that song was popping. He was like, as soon as that song go off, y'all introduce me and I'm going in. We was like, bet that. So, we got the crowd hype.
Yeah.
We got the crowd so hype, we stopped same damn time. Y'all want to hear that shit again? Y'all want to hear that shit again? It went nuts. I'm the Future. I'm at the same damn time. Man, it was so hyped up in there.
Yeah.
Man, it was crazy. It was crazy. And that shit took place. And dude never got a chance to spit his shit.
He died that night?
No, he didn't die that night. Found out that he died of an overdose. I think he was, a pill head. He was a cool young blood, but he was a good dude, man. But
never got to hear his...
Never got the chance to hear the CD release.
Man.
And then that night, I was going to beat up the dude, the DJ that announced our name on the radio.
Why?
Because what we negotiated, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
He didn't step up to the plate. He wasn't honest with me. Okay. And he tried to make me look like I was a peon and I wasn't going. Tried to hand me $90 and we had this place shaking. And I'm all the way in Milwaukee.
Right.
And I done came to Oshkosh and you give me $90 and I had explained to you already what it was.
Right.
No, I was ready to fight. So I stayed the fuck out of Oshkosh. So, but the good thing about it is when I went to Oshkosh, I had an opportunity for a job.
Okay.
You know, the actual program director wanted me to come down there and have a day or a night, or he was going to give me some DJ time. You know, he was going to give me basically my own show because the nigga who was tripping about this giving me my money,
yeah,
he was good with getting local DJs in the circuit of mainstream radio. You know, and that radio station at the time wasn't pumping nothing but rock, pop, classic, like veteran gospel, and you know, it was one of the radio stations that really didn't push urban music. So when dude got on the scene, everything urban was good. So then he like, the way he had it hooked up was like, if motherfuckers wanted to do a CD release party, he had to plug with the DJs,
mm-hmm,
and he had to plug with the venue. So he already was good. Okay. So the payout should have been sweet because they was paying him to do everything. But then he was sidebarring everybody else, like the DJs, like it was like 6-7 DJs up there better than me. Yeah. Fucking with dude, not getting paid.
Wow.
Not getting paid. And I'm talking about the one Mexican brother that I met, mm-hmm, that we did, we went, it wasn't Oshkosh, it was Fonderland.
Okay.
And that was for 420. And this brother had that mother cracking. So he let me on the table. I'm doing my thing on the table. I'm like, oh, don't you give me hell. I was like, let me back up, man. We took pictures. We drunk. It was cool, man. It was just the dude that I was down there who I took to perform for 420. Didn't step up to the plate.
Okay.
And we looked it crazy because the songs that we were supposed to perform, he changed it up 2 minutes before he went on stage.
Okay.
So that threw us off. So when he did the songs that he wanted to do, it wasn't the same genre of the dude who CD release party it was. So at the end of the night, when it came down to get paid, they didn't want to pay my guy. But I had already knew that 2 minutes before he said he wasn't going to perform the songs we had talked about on the way down.
Mm.
So when he said, man, dude, I'm waiting on dude to give me my money. And then when I seen him over in the corner, dude over there doing this and doing that, I was like, man, I'm finna go get me a pizza. I just got paid for my job.
You knew it was bad
business. I already knew it was bad business, man.
Right.
And that's another thing with dealing with this shit, is dealing with niggas. I ain't gonna say niggas. Excuse me for using my black folks like that, but it ain't all niggas. It's some white folks too. It's whoever the fuck you dealing with that's on some shite. And that's why basically it's best to put it in paper versus doing orals. Oral contract.
Right.
Because if I got it on paper, I know exactly what the fuck you owe me. You finna give me my due diligence.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But if we do oral, you can say,
right,
you agreed to a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't there on paper. And he could just give you scribbles. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And we was running into a lot of that. You know what I'm saying? So, kind of discouraged me for a minute. Kind of wanted me to sell my shit for a minute. Because I was going through that, like, for 2 years straight. Motherfuckers didn't want to be real. So then, instead of thinking about selling my shit and all of that, I said, fuck it, I'm finna make a hell of a comeback. And when I come back, I'm coming back stronger. And once I started doing that, I started meeting up with my, remember Verge?
Yeah.
Verge put me onto the gang.
Right.
Me and Speed, and then I was lucky enough to get on Tri Radio.
Tell me about that experience, Tri Radio.
Woo! Tri Radio. I love the Tri though.
Okay.
Tri Radio was my next level shit.
Okay.
You know, even though the show that I was representing wasn't mine,
right?
It represented me though. I still was a motherfuckers knew who DJ Dre Dilla was because I was on every Monday night.
Right.
Because this cat, he had to take care of some. This cat had to take care of some. It was like, Dre, you think you can run the show? The first time they asked me that, I flipped out. I'm like, what you mean? They like, dude, just go down to the radio station, do your thing. Because I ain't going to be there Monday. Verge ain't going to be there Monday.
Wow.
Can you make it? Hell yeah, I can make it.
Okay.
Then when I get down there, it's my cast from high school, my man Hollywood, he was from my junior high. Mm-hmm. So we all on like, damn, this family. Right. So they like showing me the ropes, showing me. They was like, fam, be comfortable, have fun, be cool. If you want to get on the mic, talk a little shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yo, for real? I was like, for real. And my first day, I remember I had a hell of a playlist. And I was like, I'm just going to try some shit.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, this your boy DJ Dre Dilla live and direct on Tri Radio. Y'all want to call in? Call your boy, man. Monday Night Flavor. I was like, what was it? It was Monday Night Flavor. No, it was the Speed Trap Radio Show.
Okay.
Speed Trap Radio Show. And then with your host, DJ Dre Dilla. So then I come in, boom. You'll hear an explosion. Uh-huh. You get a tag. And then bam. First track come on.
Okay.
First track went on. I went in for 30 minutes.
Hmm.
Throw a tag in. Do a drop. Say a little something. Big ups and shout out to my man Pete Nitty. Y'all up in the building. Hollywood, what's good? We up in this motherfucking live and direct. Bam! So throw in another 30 minutes.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We had 2 hours. And I just flexed it. And then it went from DJ Speed going on tour. He was gone for 2 months.
Mm.
Verge, he was on something else. He was gone for 2 months. So that left me there the whole rip for 2 months.
You carried it for 2 months?
2 months. I came back. It was the ultimate show because I had the dynamic duos with me. So we back to back on the tables, man. We had a hell of a show that night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then it was good. But then, you know, we did it for a whole year. And then that second year, that's when I wasn't asking enough questions. That's what it was. Because like I said to you, the shit was handed to me on my lap. Like I said before, it was handed to me.
Yeah.
And then that first year after that, that's when the bills started coming in. So now, like I said, I thought everything was all good. I thought we was just practitioners of this movement, and you know, I didn't know we had to pay dues because it wasn't explained to me like that.
Oh, okay.
Just handed it to me. So Wood was like, fam, you know, I'm just asking if y'all can just help out a little bit, you know, $25, $50. You know, I ain't had no problem with it, but I'm like, I can go in 25 if somebody go in 25 with me. I'm not just gonna pay the whole thing because this is all of our show. And it became a bill. Bills started coming in, I didn't want motherfuckers to pay.
Uh-huh.
I was willing to pay because I was having fun. I would drop the line to Speed, you know, because I would have him, yeah, you know, I'm live in Florida, you know what I'm saying? DJ Speed, and I had him on the phone. I'm like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? But then when I dropped the knowledge on him about, we gotta pay, man. That was like a sour taste in a nigga mouth. And I'm like, so I called a meeting so we all could get together and, you know, talk about it. But it started becoming ugly, and then Wood started getting pissed off, and he started getting back in. The bills was getting paid, and then finally something big happened. With my man Wood, where he was MIA for a good long minute.
Okay.
Bills got out of control, wasn't nobody taking control of it, damn near lost it. And then that last final months, I was still coming down on Mondays because I was hauling them down. And, you know, Will was telling me, bro, you really need your own show. You really need your own show. He was like, because a lot of people hear your voice and they be like, why is he saying another dude's show? But it was the Speed Trap radio show, which your host DJ Dre Dilla. It was DJ Speed's show in the first place.
Right.
I just came in to aid and assist. That was it.
This is your show right here.
I know. That's why it led to after all the Tri Radio, even because I tried to come back.
Okay.
And after that, I was at a standstill. Then where I'm at, Quest. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The backup man for my man, the Novice. Mm-hmm. See, all I ever wanted to do was be on the team.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And we just blow up, and then kind of like, I want to be LeBron now. You know what I mean?
Right.
But in this DJ game, or in this production game, or in this show game, you know what I'm saying? I want to be that top 41, 41. You got 41, I got 41, and we at the top of the list, and motherfuckers want to fuck with us. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's a work in progress. You know what I'm saying? So right now, we doing good. 31 shows, gonna be 32.
Yeah.
Man, that's a body of work.
DJ Dre Dilla, y'all. The best thing about being a DJ is making people happy. There's nothing like seeing people get up from a table to dance or the expression on their face when they hear a song that they love. I also love to educate people on music they have never heard. That's a quote from Chelsea Leyland. The Art of DJing. Here's more Dre Dilla.
I got a million. thinking that it's making me sick. I see you calling, I be making the quick. I'ma answer that like I don't with you. I got no feelings to go. I swear I had it up to here, I got no feelings to go. I mean for real, how you feel? You're too sensitive, it ain't going towards the bill. Yeah, and every day I wake up celebrating. Why? Cause I just dodged the crazy. I stuck to my guns, that's what made me risk. That's what put me on, that's what got me here. That's what made me this. And everything that I do is my first name. These chase bread, aw damn, she got a bird brain. Ain't nothing but trilling me, aw man, silly me. I just bought a crib, 3 stories, that the trilogy. And you know I'm rolling this up the ozone. I got a that text me, she ain't got no clothes on. And then another one text me, yo, next. And I'ma text you back like I don't with you.
Good morning, love. And today will be peace, light, and passion. Relax, love. Believe in yourself. See the vision. Be sure, love. Life here is nothing if life's not lived. I'm here, love. Good morning. Good morning, love. And today will be peace, light, and passion. Relax, love. Believe in yourself. See the vision. Be sure, love. Life here is nothing if life's not lived. I'm here, love. Good morning. Good morning. My favorite sight to see is you awakening next to me.
Jory Washington, back with DJ Dre Dilla.
Yeah, yeah.
Member of the Quest family. What's next for DJ Dre Dilla? I know we doing our thing with Quest and everything. I remember you had you was doing the Element of Surprise. Mm-hmm. Remember you still have a project you're working on?
Actually, I am. I really the Element of Surprise to some is complete. But to me, it's not, okay. Because it's still the element. Mm-hmm. It's not the surprise. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. I got some old shit up under my sleeve that I really finna do on my creative mentalness right now.
Right.
Especially with my man Maniac Tizza.
Right.
Big ups to Tizza Beats, Maniac Tizza.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. And you know, we on another level. Really trying to keep producing good music, mm-hmm. not music that's trendy.
Right.
You know, we're trying to create our own space.
Okay.
You know, once upon a time, you know, I'm trying to, you know, make beats for the trappers, make beats for the conscious, make beats for the ghetto,
uh-huh.
make beats for the hood. But then, you know, after you do all of that, everybody still ain't happy. You know, everybody still ain't pleased. They still want more.
Okay.
So I'm working on another project. Element's gonna be with that newer project.
Oh, you go ahead.
But
I edited that out.
Okay. I'm working on another project. It's actually a spinoff of Element. It's called Rules and Engagement.
Come on, can I inject something here?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because I know you're probably your own worst critic, like I am.
Right.
My own worst critic.
Right.
Man, who is saying that Element is ready? Other people?
Yes.
Man, drop Elements, man. I've been waiting for a long time now. You have. Go ahead and drop Element.
Man. Element's been sitting so for now, what, 3 years yes, now?
Go ahead and drop it, man.
Yeah, it's time for it to be dropped. You know, I'm just, you know what? In retrospective, if the way I'm looking at it, and my man the novelist said it needs to be out there, guess yeah. what? You know, fuck it, we just gonna put it out there.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? Because I kind of do want the world to see
yes.
where we coming from as far as Milwaukee. Because when I came out with the Element of Surprise, outside of you, novelists,
right,
and a few others, a lot of people didn't believe in me. That's why I entitled it Element of Surprise.
That those tracks are crazy. Drop that, man.
That's something that me and Maniac Tizza have been talking about for so long. Cause yes. Tizza Beats, he's my ultimate critic. Mm-hmm. That's my dude, and he got a good ear just as well as I know everybody else does. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I trust his judgment, and I think that's one reason why Elements haven't been out yet, because he feels the same way I do, that it's not totally complete, but due to the fact that I know a lot of people want to hear it that haven't heard it, mm-hmm. fucking, I just put it out there. Because you know what? I had my evaluation the other day at my other job.
Okay.
Yes, Quest listeners, I have another job. I work with all you people's kids. Y'all kids may not go to Pulaski in Milwaukee, but I deal with kids. So I say that to say this, you know, everybody haven't heard it, and fuck it. When I had my evaluation, my supervisor told me the other day that she know I has this spark, and she said that my creative flow mm-hmm. is real effective to the kids, you know. Mm. But she feels that I don't have enough confidence in myself to say, this is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Instead of saying, this is what it is, she told me I sit back and I hold on to it. And then somebody asked about being your presenting. When in reality, whether it make it or flop, do it.
Do it.
So in that aspect,
yeah, we're not promised tomorrow.
We're not.
So yeah, do it.
We're not.
So you already said you're working on the rules of engagement.
Rules of engagement.
So you already got that to, you know what I'm saying, work with.
And it's damn near done.
Drop the first one, man. Yeah, that's already done and you haven't dropped Element yet.
I know.
Come on.
But you know, I mean, Dauntless, you know, and the Quest listeners, y'all got to understand, we this is a work in progress. And you know, We the young brothers. We the brothers on the low totem pole. We at the bottom. We still at the feet.
Right.
When we trying to get into the hand that's extended to the sky.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's how far we trying to reach. Mm-hmm. But if I'm still at my feet level, I got a lot of climbing to do.
Right.
But at the start of it, Elements will be out ASAP. Because I think people will enjoy it. Everything that the novelists have heard ain't gonna be on it, but all the stuff that he has heard and he does like, it will be on it. Right along with new joints, and then he gonna present it to the Quest world so everybody can give me a good opinion on how you like it.
We need to have a listening party.
Yeah, that's another thing. I want a listening party.
Yeah.
But then once I present it to the Quest, but when the Quest people come, Quest people listen, I want your comments. I want your input.
Okay.
I want you to tell me where DJ Dre Dilla should go. You know what I'm saying? I'm not like that. I'm a cool dude. At the end of the day, I drink beer. I like Camarena tequila. I don't smoke squares no more. You know, but, you know, I'm a people person.
Yes.
I work in all my careers and all my job opportunities have been related to people.
Okay.
So I just try to, you know, please everybody else to make them happy. You know what I'm saying? So that's Drake Dilla, you know. I just trying to provide some good music, you know.
You provide excellent music.
You know,
that's some music, man.
I thank you, man, because you know, I'm telling you, a couple years ago, brother was finna back it up and say, "Fuck it, I don't want this shit no more." Because it's a hard road when you from a city like Milwaukee,
right?
We're not big as New York, California, Miami, you know.
Right.
We don't have access to a lot of radio stations. And then when we do think we have a hit that we want to give to the radio station, they're not going to pump our shit mainstream. It's so hard. And in some cases, it's still payola that's dropping off where I had to kick you off $1,500 $2,000 for you to keep my shit in rotation. I'ma let y'all know, Quest listeners. Once again, Dre Dilla said he worked with y'all kids, so that means the funds ain't there like that. Okay?
Right.
So, but I keep a positive and open mind and say the fact that, you know, we're gonna be alright. You know what I'm saying? We doing good. We don't need B100. We don't need this, we don't need that. You know, I had Tri Radio and I was able to, all those local people that motherfuckers wouldn't play on mainstream, I was able to play them on the internet. You know what I'm saying? On our show. You know, Speed Trap Radio was known for me fucking with locals and shit in Milwaukee, you know? So I kept pumping that. So every night I wouldn't do local, but one night I would have nothing but down south mix, you know, okay, for a whole hour. Then I have some New York shit jumping off, or I have some pimp shit jumping off. It was just my feel, my mood at that time, or what I wanted to fuck with, and that's what I played. And a lot of times when I would be on West Coast, South Coast, East Coast,
okay,
Midwest, motherfuckers was catching that buzz like, "Oh, you bang, I ain't heard that shit in like 15 odd years," you
right,
know?
Right.
But it was just, you know, I was trying to make the show that I was working for work for me. You know? Okay. I know it would have been bigger than what it was. But when other people don't give me that same hunger and effort that I want to put in, and I know it didn't work, and you telling me to just go, "Oh yeah, go ahead and just do it," but you're still getting the credit for what I'm working to, and it'd be on Speed Trap Radio, not fucking with DJ Dre Dilla.
Okay.
Nothing against Speed Trap Radio, because Speed Trap is DJ Speed. That's my man, 50 grand. The boy is hot on the turntables. Fuck with them hands. The boy can fuck with them hands, man. He got them hands on them wheels. So
okay,
that's my man, 50 grand. But when it comes down to looking at it as if, are we going to be employees or are we going to be employers?
Right.
That's the difference. You know? Okay. And a lot of time when we would be in the studio, I was looking like an employee versus an employer. You know, and us as DJs, we're employers. You know what I'm saying? So if I got a gig, I got a team of cats, I can't get to that gig, but I'm going to send my mans over there while I'm doing this gig. And my man's over there doing that game.
Right.
So that's showing business, you know what I'm saying, mind frame.
Right.
And a lot of people don't have that. They have the employee mind frame. They want to work for us. You, me, Quest, Tri Radio. They don't want to work for themselves. They want to work for other people because they don't want to have to deal with, you know, inventory, bills, money that you had to spend to make up to do this, receipts, taxes at the end of the year. Motherfuckers don't want to deal with that.
Okay.
But if you really trying to make yourself a brand, and you know, if you trying to be big as Jeezy and all of them, you have to go through the steps as an entrepreneur to do what you got to do to get your shit out there. And that's just being 1,000. I learned the hard way. At the end of the year, you find out you owe this money for being an employer. But it made me feel good because now I'm at a different tax bracket. You know what I'm saying? I'm just right, not the average nigga, the average Joe, or the average working class guy.
Right.
You know, I have other avenues where I can make my money, and it's hustle, and it's legit. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But all of that, it, it, it's music, all of that. You have to be at your best. Even when you're not feeling it, you still have to be at your best.
Right.
You know? Argument with your wife before a gig, you have to be at your best. Fuck what she talking about when you touch them turntables. Take it out on them turntables. Take it out on the mic. If you're a lyricist, you take it out on your verbals. You know?
Right, right.
And then he's got to decipher that, dissect it, and, you know, you'll be all right. You know? I may not be the on BET, but here at the crib, a lot of motherfuckers know me.
Right.
That's good enough. I made some money. I ain't make $20,000, but I still here to do what I do, and that's still a capability, you know?
Right, right.
I'm still capable of doing it, and it's a possibility. Right. It depends on who I get with networking. But,
I always think about that quote that T.D. Jakes says. It says, anything is possible today.
Anything is possible.
You wake up, anything is possible.
Exactly.
And you can run into that one person or have contact with that one person, that take you to the next level.
Right? Yeah. No. And then, that's why I don't have a lot of hate with people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know it's haters out here, but I don't have to acknowledge that shit. You know what I'm saying? But, like you said, the level of hate that people be having is just because they haven't taken the steps that you take to be successful.
Right.
You're not going to do what I do to make it to the next level.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I work at this place called Options for Community Growth. I'm a DJ. And yes, I'm putting this out here on the world to show you that I am human. I work.
Mm-hmm.
I work. I serve old guys. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But there are people that work with me that serve these old guys that have a problem with wiping ass.
Mm.
I've been doing this shit for 20 years.
Mm.
I had to wipe my daddy ass. I had to wipe my granddaddy ass. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's not saying that I'm gay.
Right.
It's not saying that I'm less than a human being.
Right.
I'm just aiding the system, the motherfucker who can't wipe their ass.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, a motherfucker who hates on something like that, for a motherfucker that has to have his ass wiped, the motherfucker that's hating would be the motherfucker that had to bend over for the next motherfucker. Wipe his ass.
Yeah.
Why you tripping and why you hating on that? Like you said, God will put you in places where you think you should be.
Right.
And he like, I'm going to put you here to right. show you what he talking about or what they're going through because you was on some hating shit.
There you go.
So being a hater, I can't.
Right.
I don't want to be that. I don't want to hurt nobody.
Right.
I'm a DJ. I want to please people. I like girls. I like women.
Right.
I like kicking it with guys. That's cool. And we on some real positive shit. I'm going to pound my man, you know?
Right.
So what we got to live is live in unity. Live in, you know, togetherness and prosperity.
Right.
Everybody kicking and celebrating together.
Right.
No hate. You know, the world would be a better place with no hate.
There you go.
And we all like each other. Hey, John. Hey, George. Hey, you need your garbage taken out? Yeah, I'll take it out for you. I'm standing right here by the garbage can. It's nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We live happily ever after.
But yeah, like that nonsense that went down in Orlando. You know, it's like so much hate out here.
Yeah, and dude was, he was on one.
Yeah.
You know? I hate to say it, but, you know, motherfuckers do crazy shit. Sometimes we can't explain it, but hey, he got what was dealt to him.
Right.
Because you created
right.
what you created. And I believe in that. You create some bullshit, that bullshit gonna chase your ass. You know? So, but musically, and being this DJ, it's lovely. But I want to tell you, Novelist, I'm glad. I'm proud of you.
Thank you, bro.
When it come down to the quest shit. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't have did it unless you came up with the idea. I said, I got your back.
Right.
Look at us now. We 32 shows deep.
Right.
Bro.
Right.
That's a body of work.
Yeah.
That's a body of work.
Yeah.
With or without people.
Right.
It's not that those people, we hate on them. When you get hungry enough, or when you start seeing how shit designed and start playing,
right,
the work is what counts.
There you go.
The effort that you put into it to make your shit the best that you can make it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So if a motherfucker sidebar hating on the sideline, he can keep talking because you was not here to help
right
put some shit together.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Most definitely.
That's all I basically all I gotta say. And those that's out here who got something, that's making it, they're making ways to come see you because you have an avenue motherfuckers to be heard. You have an audience. Mm-hmm. You have an audience now. You know what I'm saying? It don't even matter. He could be white. Somebody gonna like that motherfucker if he's logged on to the quest.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And we taking all locals, we taking all music, we popping it all out, throw it in the mix, and
there you go.
Get it out there and grind. So hit your boy, the novelist, aka Roy Washington, live and direct with DJ Dre Dilla. You know what I'm saying? Tizza Beats and all that.
Hey, how can they find you on social media?
Social media? I'm Big Fella Dre Dilla on Facebook. I don't have a Twitter. I am on Instagram as The Big Fella.
Okay.
I'm The Big Fella on Instagram. So you Instagram me, Facebook me, or get in contact with Roy Washington. Hit his email. Hit us all up at the quest. And I can give you what you want. Best way I can give it to you. Simple as that. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Milwaukee affiliate, you know what I'm saying? Born and raised in this bitch. 12/25/71, date of birth, you know what I'm saying? Roy Washington in the building as the novelist, you know what I'm saying?
Most
and live and direct on the quest. Yeah!
All right, y'all been locked in. This is Roy Washington with DJ Dre Dilla.
For sure!
Yeah, this your boy DJ Dre Dilla. Check this out.
Courage is what it takes to stand up and speak. Courage is also what it takes to say
sit down and listen. That quote is by the great Winston Churchill. I'd like to thank God for the opportunity we had to sit down and listen to this great DJ, great young man, family, also a member of Quest family, DJ Dre Dilla. I'd like to thank God for the courage it takes for him to get up in front of crowds, in front of multiple people, and entertain and bless them with his skill and his craft. So, thanks, big ups, DJ Dre Dilla, with all that you do. Greatly appreciate it. Thanks for the talk, the laughs, and there's many, many more to come. Also, I'd like to thank everyone who supports what we do here at Quest. I'd like to send shouts out Desiree Shonda, the Washington family, Gladney's, Lewis's. I got Midwest James, the Clinton Twins, D-Rock, everybody who supports, Brother Moss, the Round Table, Whaley, Robinson, Greer, big up Cecil, so Garner family, BFF, Charlie Jones Jr., everyone, Ira Steve, everyone who supports, if I miss you, it's impossible to mention everybody, but if I miss you, charge it to my head and not my heart. Just very appreciative of everyone, and we keep doing what we do, we keep moving forward, respectfully. So thank you very much. I enjoyed this episode. Look forward to hitting it again soon. So, everybody just, continue in these crazy days that we're living in. Continue to be safe out there. Continue to be respectful. Do your best to, whatever you do, just do your best at it. Be respectful. Try and reach others. Try and be a blessing to others. Do the right thing. Treat people how you want to be treated. Keep that prayer line open with God. And, just walk in His blessings. Keep your circle tight. And as always, somebody come up trying to throw monkey wrench in the game, trying to infiltrate your camp with that foolishness, look that snake right in the eye and tell him,